Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Emotional Hangs. This is Kurt Brownoler. I am I'm excited to say that you are listening to a podcast about adult friendships, hosted by myself and Joe DeRosa. Joe DeRosa is not in the room with me right now. Why? Now, if you'll recall, last week I told you a little lie. Told you Joe was in rehab. White lies, fun. I appreciate everybody who tweeted and made Joe paranoid so that he called me immediately. It was wonderful. I want to say you did great work. But Joe still hasn't come back, guys. And I'm a little worried for the guy. You know, I just don't know where Joe is. And it breaks my heart to think that he's out there somewhere hiding under a car or under somebody's porch or something. And he's just so scared and doesn't know that he can come home whenever he wants. And so if you guys could put out on your front stoop tonight just like a little beer and a little weed and see if Joe shows up and just let him know if you see him that his buddy Kurt misses him and wants him to come home real soon, because I just don't think he knows what's out there, you know? So what I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, is that we're going to have another throwback episode. This is going to be the second episode of Emotional Hangs we ever recorded that was released on another podcast. I bet you not a lot of people have heard it. And so we're excited to play it out for you. Don't worry, new episodes are coming very, very soon. As soon as Joe gets his fucking ass back from, I don't know, wherever, whatever motel he's hanging out at. Joe's just doing shows. But it's an inconvenient time. I'm going to say I'm a little upset with Joe. And I'm saying it here, it's unfair. Because again, he's not going to listen to the intro to this episode. But if you guys could again tweet at him, let him know that you're leaving a little weed and some beer out front for him, like a disturbing Santa Claus, and let him know that his good friend Kurt misses him, because I ain't going to tell him. I'm just waiting this one out, folks. But this is a great episode of Emotional Hangs. This is the second episode we ever recorded. I think better than the first episode, honestly. And excited for you to hear it. Also, guys, just an FYI, The Big Sick, wide release this weekend, July 14th. It goes everywhere, 2,200 theaters. 2,200 theaters, that's a wide release. That is not an indie movie release. It was going to be 1,600, but because people went and saw it so much in the first 2 weeks, now it's a bigger release, and that's so exciting. Go see The Big Sick. Also, I'm going to be at the Draft House in Washington, D.C., this weekend, July 14th and 15th. So please, 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 come on out and see me. All right? Guys, this is Emotional Hangs.
Let's get soft if you want to get soft with it.
Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody.
Get soft if you want to get soft with it.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Back again.
Emotional.
Hangs.
Part two. Number
Part two. Episode two.
It's just, you know, all of them should, you know, at some point after a year, they'll all be put together and they'll be listened to as the rich tapestry of two adults becoming friends.
Yeah.
Two adult men.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you figured out, essentially, was that this show was the purpose, because we were trying to figure out what the purpose of it was. And then you said one day, I figured out what the purpose is. It's about two men opening up to each other to become friends.
Like, because you don't really, I don't become friends anymore, for the most part.
Me neither.
You know, like you meet people and you're like, oh, that person's cool. And you're like, too bad we won't be friends. Because there's just a lot of work involved.
Yeah, and it really sucks when you meet like other entertainers. Sometimes I'll meet people that I admire and I like their work, and then you meet them and you think, I don't want to be friends with them because I know who they are. I want to be friends with them because I think I would have a lot in common with them. But then you can't say, let's be friends.
You can't say, let's be friends.
As a grown up, because then
I've definitely said it. But
how was that received?
It's never received well. It's usually said drunkenly. Like, uh-oh, hey, let's be friends.
It's so funny.
It's just like, get out of here, you monster.
They didn't really call you a monster, though, did they?
No. They just, no, you precious little fucking piece of shit, get out of here. That's what they said. No, they didn't say that at
all. It's hard becoming friends as grown-ups. I struggle with it all the time. I'm constantly, you know, when I do meet somebody else that I like and I want to be their friend, it's hard because I feel, it makes me feel it feels like high school again.
I mean, just talking this much about friends, I feel like we're going to get beat up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It feels like right now I feel like maybe we should stop talking about friendship so much.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. When you're a kid, you're just friends with everybody.
You can just be friends.
Yeah.
Because you know why? You don't know, as a child, you have not learned all of the different social cues that signify someone isn't interested in what you're saying.
Right.
So it's like you just keep, it's like two bulldozers just smashing into each other. And then eventually you either like stick together or you don't. Whereas as an adult, you can literally, you know, every little, if you have a thought about something I said, I can see just the little bit of your eye like go up, and I know I've said something stupid and I should shut the fuck up, and then all that shit like comes flooding in about like insecurities and all that shit.
Absolutely. And when you're a kid, if somebody breaks up with you friend-wise, which that happens when you're a kid, it's like, well, screw you, man. I don't like you anyway, and you walk away, and that's it. You don't talk anymore. If you're an adult and somebody has to break up with you friend-wise, something's very wrong. There's something bad. There's something very toxic
bad
happening.
Happened. Yeah.
You know, like, and that's, I mean, so the fear of that. What if you'd ever got to that point with somebody? I mean, that's terrifying.
But don't you think that it doesn't ever happen as an adult? No one ever is like, we can't be friends anymore.
Oh, I know.
No, they just stop returning your calls.
I know people that have literally had to say to other grown-ups, I don't want to be your friend anymore.
What?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing.
Yes.
I had a friend who had a friend who didn't take the hint. And I remember I was staying with my friend at the time, and this guy kept calling him. And he was like, dude, I don't know what to do. He won't take the fucking hint. Like, this guy's a dirtball. I don't want to be his friend anymore. He's become this completely gross person. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah. And the guy called him while I was there. And he was like, Jesus Christ, this guy's calling me again. And he goes, fuck it. And he walked outside onto his front porch and had to, like, break up with the guy. And be like, I don't know why you keep calling me. I don't know why you can't take the hint. I don't know what to say. I just don't want to be your friend anymore.
Whoa.
And then that guy.
But here's my question.
Yeah.
That dude had to be a stand-up.
No.
Was not a stand-up?
No, neither of them were stand-ups.
What?
Neither were stand-ups.
That's crazy.
Neither were stand-ups. And his friend that he dumped knew me. And then like a year later, the guy that he dumped started like taking shots at him on Facebook and then started taking shots at me too. I was like, what the fuck did I do? I just like, you know. So, like, I got, like, drug into it. It's ugly, man.
It is ugly.
Because that guy knew. I must really have fucked up. For someone to break up with me in their 30s, I must be a really toxic person.
That's what that guy was thinking.
I mean, he must have been, right?
Yeah, right?
I mean, I'm sure he didn't feel great about it.
No. I mean, if anyone was like, I can't be your friend anymore, that's rough.
Here's the thing. I had a joke about... I used to have a joke about this, where I said, you know, one of the hard parts about getting older is you have to hang out with people you don't like anymore. Like, you have to be friends with people you don't like.
Yeah.
You know,
you just have to, like, make it okay.
Yeah.
Because I used to just be like, that person walks in the room, I'm going to make a scene about the fact that I don't like them. Like, when you're 22, 23, somebody comes over to your friend's house who you don't like, you're just like, dude, don't bring them over here. If you bring them over here, I'm going to fucking leave.
Right.
And then you're just like, fuck you, man. You leave and you make a scene about it. You don't do that as an adult.
Right. Yeah. It's just kind of like, you know, it is what it is, and you got to just kind of sit there and be like, you know?
Yeah.
I would say, there are people in this comedy club tonight that don't like each other. There are people you're sitting with that you think like you that don't like you.
Holy shit.
It's a fact. But because my whole thing was, when you're a kid, you have options. That was the whole bit. When you're a kid, you have options. You're meeting kids constantly. Kids at the pool, kids at school, kids around the corner, kids up the street, kids on the block,
and
kids
also
next door.
The requirements for meeting and becoming friends are wide open.
Yeah.
Here now, it's like there's a lot of requirements.
Yeah, it's literally just whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we both like Star Wars. That's enough of a starting point. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And also things change quickly after a certain age. Like after 30, things start changing. You know, like some of those kids that you were friends with, like probably a percentage of them are like just homeless now.
Right.
And you're not going to just, before you would just walk up and be friends with them, you're not just going to walk up to that homeless guy and be like, come on over.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you'd let anybody into your space.
Everyone.
Yeah, and that was, and then the end of the bit was like that you have to make decisions when you get older. And sacrifice things. You know, you have to sacrifice is I have to accept things I don't like about this person. And the punchline was, well, yeah, my neighbor beats his wife, but he's the only guy I know that drinks. Who am I supposed to drink with? Because I was like, you don't meet anybody.
Yeah.
You know, you have the friend that drinks.
Yeah.
You have the friend that, like, maybe wants to get into some crazier shit sometimes. You have your strip club friend.
Yeah.
You know, you have, like, your girlfriend. You know what I mean? Like you have like the girl you pal around with. You know what I mean? It's like it becomes very limited.
But I also feel like you have that with friends that you like, long term friends. Like, have you ever met? I feel like there's very few comedians who have this, but the ones who do, I always like them because I'm one of them who has like childhood friends, and they still hang out with them. And when you meet the childhood friends, they're so different from, like, because usually comedians just have other comedian friends. So it's immediately like, oh, I get it. You know, like, this is, you're a comic, you know? But then when it's like childhood friends, just like a person from a different world. And I respect people who have that. But also the fact that, like, you can tell immediately, you're just like, what's going on with that guy? They're like, oh, he's known him since he was a kid. It's like, oh, right. And like he's already like he's just admitted into the fold, but it's just like what's going on with him?
Yeah, well, there's that whole thing. It's like the what movie is that? Oh, come on! I've known the guy since I was a kid. I can't, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the Sinatra thing, you know, in the Rat Pack movie when Ray Liotta plays Sinatra in the movie, and Ava Gardner is like, you know, Frank, you always go running whenever your mob friends come calling. And she's like, when are you going to realize you're like the biggest star in the world? And he's like, those guys believed in me when I had nothing. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No matter how big he got, he was still like pally with the mob dudes that he knew growing up in like Hoboken. You know, it's like, you know, it's.
That's actually in a line in a movie. That's a fictional movie with Frank Sinatra in it.
Well, it's supposedly an autobiographical film. No, biographical thing, because it's about the Rat Pack. You never saw the Rat Pack?
The Rat Pack. Oh, so it's not actually Frank Sinatra. No, Frank.
Is why I said Ray Liotta.
Oh, Ray Liotta. Sorry. Sorry. I was like, this is a movie. I just kind of, I spaced out on that part. Oh, okay. No, I've never seen that movie.
It's great. Ray Liotta plays Sinatra. Joe Mantegna plays Dean Martin. Don Cheadle plays Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Bobby Slayton plays Joey Bishop.
Oh, I want to see it. Is it great?
It's awesome.
Oh, I'm going to go see it.
It's awesome. It's all about the Rat Pack during their rise. It's the rise and fall of the Rat Pack. So it's like them exploding as this, like, the Hollywood, you know, kind of
50s
it team. Well, like 60s, really. Okay. And them, like, kind of running Vegas and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then what Sinatra did to try to help Kennedy get into office. It's all about that.
Wow. Holy shit.
Really great fucking movie.
Cool.
It's made for HBO.
Okay.
Made for HBO. But so the point we're getting at here ultimately is it's hard to make a new friend when you get older.
Yeah.
That isn't just a guy you're going, oh Christ, he kind of sucks, but whatever or whatever.
Right.
To make a real friend. Now, Kurt and I, as we said in the last episode of this, feel that we've made a real friendship. And, that comes to the evidence of that keeps surfacing. And I'll bring up the latest.
The latest. This is the inspiration for the second episode of emotional highs.
Yeah, yeah, because the hard part about being a friend is you are challenged emotionally. Vulnerability has to be put on the table.
On the table. Maybe why we do this podcast while we're drinking.
You were on the road recently.
Rough time on the road.
Yeah, and you weren't having a good time.
Tough time. And too bad, too.
Yeah, you called me. This was two things, actually.
Yeah.
You called me after the text that I'm going to bring up right now. The thing that made me say we got to do another episode was you had texted me that you weren't having a good time. And I texted you back and I said, if you need to talk, give me a shout. I'm around, whatever. And you wrote back, I love you, buddy. And I was warm to the heart, warm to the heart, and too terrified to write, I love you too.
So this is another layer of male friendship as a new friend, too. Because I'm also, one would say, quick to the I love you. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
But I feel like it's a part of who I am.
Sure.
You know?
That's fine.
Definitely say it. I don't say I love you to a lot of dudes.
I know.
It's reserved for people who I feel affection for.
I'd be offended if you said I love you to a lot of dudes right now.
Whenever I leave the stage, I say I love each and every one of you. And I
Just the dudes. Just the dudes. I love
each
and every
one. I love each and every dude here. Good night.
to the girls, you know, keep rocking.
Keep rocking. You're doing a great job. Don't talk to me afterwards.
Yeah, I had the feeling that, you know, that you were being sincere. That I'm not saying that you were saying, Joe, I literally love you, but that it was a moment where you're saying,
it was a moment of like, hey, I'm saying like, appreciate you.
Of course. Yeah. And I couldn't.
I love it.
I couldn't say it back.
I love it. I love
couldn't
it.
Say it back.
I love it.
Could not do it because I was too afraid that you would get the I love you back, bud, or I love you too. It sounds horrible anyway you say it.
Yeah.
And then you would go, oh, Christ, I was just being like, hey, I love you, pal. What the fuck's with this freak? I think he loves me.
Of course.
Me. And I was terrified.
That's hilarious because that would never have crossed my mind to do that.
Probably
not.
I
mean, maybe I would have like just burned you right after that, just as a fun thing to do.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Knowing that you that it would have been difficult for you to write that back and just to burn you, then it would just drive you, you know, deeper into your shell, and I would get some level of appreciation out of that, you know?
Which is a bad part of you. That's not a healthy trait that you feel you need to shame the person in your own way. Because
I mean, it's maybe good you didn't say love you too, because I maybe would have. I honestly, in the space that I was in, I would not have.
No, I agree.
But it would. I'm just saying it would be very funny if I did.
It would have been hilarious.
Yeah.
It would have been hilarious. Here's one thing I do like about you, Kurt. You always do respond correctly to the texts. Like today, I said, yeah, I said, you want to go get drinks after the podcast? You said, yeah, but I can't party tonight. And then I said, no worries, dude. Maybe you can use this before you came over and sent you that coupon for tampons,
yeah.
Right? It's a
classic
joke as old as
classic,
the ages.
Classic joke.
But I love it.
I love it, too.
Never not.
I mean, that one, I would have responded with, that's okay, I have some salve for your pussy.
I swear to God, the word salve and pussy were in my head, and I was
it's
like,
a classic. It's a classic. It's a classic. You know,
let me tell you why I had the tampon coupon picked to send you so quickly.
Why?
Last week, I call Thune up. Like, are we still hanging tonight? He texts back. I'm real hungover. We hung out Friday night and had a really great time.
Uh-huh.
We were supposed to go out Saturday. I text him Saturday. We still on? He goes, I'm nursing this hangover. I might need to take a rain check. I go, take this to the store and get your fucking shit together. And I sent him the coupon for the tampon.
First off, does that coupon work?
I don't know. I had to Google tampon coupon. That's what I had to Google, and then that came up.
The Groupon tampon coupon.
No response.
Aww.
How do you not respond to the tampon bit?
I know. And then all of a sudden you feel bad about sending the tampon bit.
I felt like, did I offend him?
Yeah.
Does he actually have a vagina?
But then you get a, yeah, you get all in your head about it. You always have to respond to an insult because otherwise it's unfair to the person who insulted you.
Yes! Have some classic. Heart. Have some heart for the mean guy.
That's classic. Have some heart for the mean guy.
Now,
but I responded.
Yes, you
did. I said, I already have two in.
I like that you did. I like that you did. And I like that you chose to go the self-deprecating route with it.
Yeah.
You didn't go, oh, why don't you...
Yeah.
Why don't you eat my pussy?
Because you know what? Because that, you know. That you go self-deprecating route, you eat it all. You eat all that.
You M&M'd
insult.
It.
Yeah. You M&M'd
yeah,
it.
You 8 Mile'd it.
Have you heard that fucking, it makes me so happy when they took the 8 Mile song and it's just mom's spaghetti over and over again?
No.
Are you, pause this right now. We're going to have to listen to it. I'm not kidding. It's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
We have
pause
to
it right now.
All right. We're pausing. All right, we watched the video. We watched the video. It has...
It's amazing.
It has a million, over a million hits.
It's so... I'm so happy that guy made it. He's a comedy guy, too. I think he's a writer on something. But if you haven't seen it, it's just they sample mom's spaghetti in that Eminem song. And then... expertly place it so the entire song's about mom's spaghetti over and over and over.
He throws up mom's spaghetti.
Yeah,
he's choking. The spaghetti won't come out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's
oh,
great.
God,
it's
I love
great.
It has the crowd so spaghetti. Makes me laugh so much.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. It also lets me. It also makes me further realize there's no point in making web videos.
Right. Because like,
that will kill.
Also, I watched a web video today. This is something I like to watch. I two videos that I'll watch all day long.
What is it?
One is boat launches.
Yeah.
Gone wrong.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when they're like just built a boat and then they slide it in and then it fucks up and just tips over or like smashes people. I'll watch those
forever. She enjoyed that.
Forever. And crosswind airplane landings. Have you ever seen those?
What's that?
It's when there's a perpendicular, like, so wind is going perpendicular to the way the plane's landing, and it's real fucked up, the landings. Like, literally, like, one, it's almost, the wings almost smash the ground a bunch of times, but they're commercial airliners. But I watched three videos. One was just waves on a boat, of like, crashing over things, 6 million views, and he had an ad in front of it. So right. That guy is a millionaire.
Right.
Another one was just a boat launches, had 3 million views. No one's getting hurt in these. These boats are flipping upside down.
Everybody loves a splash.
Everybody loves a splash.
Everybody loves a splash.
That's why they named that fucking show Wipeout. That fucking
the
show that probably... Yeah, they just fucking fall in water.
Knocked off of the thing into the
I mean, talk
the
about
pool.
TV made by mentally disabled children. That's what it is. It's fucking whatever that show is. Splashdown.
Wipeout.
Wipeout.
No, she said it right the first time.
Splashdown.
What the hell is Splashdown?
Splashdown is definitely a ride at a water park.
That's a great title for something.
Splashdown.
I would call your next screenplay Splashdown.
Water Splashdown.
Splashdown, and it's like an action movie that takes place on boats.
I'm going the other way, and Water Splashdown is just a bunch of rabbits that are of low IQ, and they can't get it together to do anything.
I don't even get that.
Watership Down?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Watership Down, which is, I've never read it. I just know it's a book where
about
rabbits. Yeah, and they're like real mean to each other. I think it's a dystopian novel about rabbits.
Oh, it's like Animal Farm,
but with fucking rabbits.
Is there anything more disturbing than Animal Farm?
I've never read it. I always get Animal Farm confused with Charlotte's Web.
Yeah. Yeah, and exactly. And in Charlotte's Web, I keep waiting for the pig to start drinking whiskey and become corrupt. And I'm like, no, idiot.
No, this is Charlotte's Web.
The pig that's the star of the children's storybook isn't going to become corrupt. Babe, too. Babe freaks me out because it reminds me of Animal Farm. He's talking
especially
pigs.
Babe, too.
Pig in the City.
Because it's that hotel that's run by a monkey.
Really?
Oh, Jesus. Babe Pig in the City takes it the whole world to a different level. He goes into this city that's essentially like Venice,
but it's all run by animals. So there's a hotel run by a monkey. Chickens are living in it and other animals. It's cuckoo balls.
I don't like the talking animal scenario.
I love it,
freaks
so much.
Me out.
I love it so much. You Dr. Really? Doolittle? I love Dr. Doolittle just to see some fucking animals.
The
talk.
Eddie Murphy one.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Eddie Murphy on Inside the Actors Studio?
No.
He goes, they ask him about Dr. Doolittle. Did you just belch?
Yeah, I just belched.
Kurt does a thing. Can I air this
please,
to everybody?
Please.
Kurt does a thing where he burps frequently.
All the time.
And he holds it in so there's silence. It's a silent belch. And then he blows it out the side of his mouth as if nobody is noticing his face completely locking up and a strain in his chest. And then him exhaling when he's not smoking or anything. You're
like, I just blow it out. Because what I'm doing is I'm getting, if there's any smell associated with that, I'm trying to get it away from the person's face who I'm talking to.
That's where you and I differ, my friend. Because me and my buddies, I will belch into their face and blow it into their face as hard as I can.
Super fine with that. I'm just talking about in polite company, you know? And so I've just, it's just been triggered at like,
I would think not belching in polite company.
There's no, I don't have control over that.
No governor on it, huh?
No, there's no governor. I even get into it when I'm in the middle of my act. And if I'm like drinking on stage, like I'll be drinking a vodka soda or something. Uh-huh. And just some bubbles will get stuck. And I'll be in the middle of like saying something. And it'll be like, it'll turn the audience off for a bit. Like they watch my whole like. Like face kind of change, and I'm trying to ignore it, and I just kind of plow through it, but it happens a good amount.
Oh,
so
boy,
much so
I love
that
it.
Sometimes I just don't even bring a drink
it.
On stage with me for, because of that.
I love it. That's so funny, man. That's so funny. I get that little bubbly weird thing in the throat too.
Yeah,
yeah. Do you have a farting issue as well?
No, I don't fart very much.
Really?
No.
When you do, bad or good?
It's never. Doesn't smell ever.
Ever.
Mm-mm.
That means you're keeping a clean system.
Yeah, I'm not.
You're not. You eat pretty well.
Oh, I eat fine. I just drink a lot.
I drink a lot too, but you don't drink that much, I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like we drink like normal adults.
I don't know.
Nights a week.
I think we drink like comics, like normal comics.
Yeah.
Like someone who works in bars.
Two.
Every night.
Maybe three nights. Four tops a week. And, yeah, I got to tell you, it never gets old.
It doesn't get old.
It never gets old. I never get tired of it.
I really enjoy it.
Now, here's the thing.
Yes.
After we had the texting, the I love you texts.
Mm-hmm. We had a heart-to-heart.
After that, we had a heart-to-heart on the phone.
Where was I? And you said phone, like you're
phone.
From Pittsburgh.
Philly.
You're from
That's
Philly.
That's Philly. Phone,
yeah.
Dude.
And I was in Pittsburgh at the time.
You were in Pittsburgh, and we talked on the phone. We had a heart-to-heart. Then I went to do a show at the West Side Comedy Theater afterwards.
Oh, yeah. I was asking you, why are you driving across town to do a show?
And we got paid for it.
There you go.
Yeah. We got 40 bucks. And I was like,
oh, that's nice.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So, but
you
when
only
I
spent 35 on gas to get out there.
And then the other five was for parking. So it was worth it. No, but I got there and Neil Brennan was there and I was hanging out with him in the green room and, your name came up somehow and he said, are you friends with Kurt? I don't know Kurt very well. And I said, yes, I am. And I said, in fact, I believe our friendship went to a new level this evening. And Neil said, why? And I said, we just had a heart to heart on the phone, man. I was like, that was our first heart to heart ever. That's big. And here's what's great about that. I felt good telling Neil about that because as soon as I saw Neil,
yeah.
We said hi and we had like this nice exchange. Then he came in the green room and he goes, I feel like there's a lot of goodwill between us. And I was like, I know, right?
That's a version of we have emotional hangs.
Yeah. And I go, I know, right? And he goes,
Joe is checking his phone right now because his phone
sorry,
went off.
I live alone. I'm lonely. I was seeing if it was some kind of salvation.
If it was a girl. Is it a girl?
It's nothing.
Who is it? To just explain it in some way.
Well, I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
You're married to her. No, I'm kidding. No, it's a friend of mine that was going to drive up tonight from the West Side.
Okay.
That said they can't make it now. And it is a female, but not a date female.
Not a hookup.
No, just a friend.
All right, keep going.
Anyway, but he goes, I feel like we have a lot of goodwill between us. And I go, I agree. And he goes, He goes, we don't see each other that much. He goes, I forget you live here till I see you. But every time I see you, I feel like it's a really good energy.
Yeah.
I was like, Neil, I couldn't agree with you more. I see that guy, I'm immediately
genuinely happy. I really don't know him at all. I've maybe spoken to him twice.
I'll tell you this. My friendship with him is very similar to the friendship I have with you.
I like that.
I see you and hang out with you more. But there you go.
There we go.
Why? Just let it go.
I burped. I blew it still to the side. But I took the microphone away from my face. All right? Because I'm not a child anymore. I've given up childish things.
You fucking child. So here's where we're at. This friendship is actually making progress through the course of the progress of this
of the podcast.
Podcast, which I think is very interesting.
I think it's totally fascinating.
Yes, yes.
And I really do genuinely wonder how, as a human who we don't know, listening to this podcast, like, what does this sound like? Like, what? I guess it's just two buds hanging out, right? Or
I don't know.
It just sounds like two guys way too concerned with emotions.
I had a couple nice. I put the last one out on my podcast.
Yeah, and I still haven't because I've had a backlog of my shit.
That hurts a little bit.
Yeah, there we go.
But it's fine.
There we go.
It's fine.
Maybe this one will just go on mine, and we go back and forth.
I need an episode for Monday.
Okay, great.
No, we should put them on both. Who cares? It doesn't matter which. The rate of which they go on both does not matter.
Exactly.
I think we should just do this separately.
Right.
I really think we should. And I got, because I got a lot of nice responses from the last one. People were like, that's really funny. Please do more of that. We got the tweet from that girl today that was like,
yeah, when's more coming out?
Which was weird.
But the best part was, she was searching for emotional hangs, and the only shit that came up was like very weird,
yeah,
emotional therapy stuff.
Yeah.
So we have the name of it really just feeds into just being mixed in with a lot of weird self-help bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. Yeah, I love it, though. That's what's great. Yeah, only one negative comment. One guy said, fuck that other podcast.
Mine?
Well, meaning like this one. Because I released this as an episode on mine.
Yeah,
and I said, and I did an intro where I go, this is going to be a new podcast that we're going to do, but we're going to start premiering episodes on our
Let's get that guy's
podcast.
A guest.
Huh?
Let's get that guy's a guest.
He's not ready.
He's not ready.
He's not ready. He's not ready.
He's got four followers.
Now, out of all your closest friends in the whole world,
yes,
who's, you know, everybody's got their select best friend group or whatever, where you go, these guys are my closest.
Mm-hmm.
What's the most recent of those best friends? How old were you when you met that guy?
The most, okay, so we're talking tightest four.
Exactly. We're tightest going your four. Top three, top four, and you know, chronologically, one of them came later than the other three. How old were you when you met the latest of those?
22. Youngest was three, 14, 16, 22.
Wow. Very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar ratio myself.
And you see these guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mine is one. I mean, I didn't fucking know what was happening at one, but we were hanging out.
Yeah.
Their parents hung out. Two were at 15. Another was at like 19 or 18, excuse me. And then another was like around like, 21, 22.
I think it stopped around 25, they say, the brain loses its plasticity. So you're still like constantly forming new pathways in the brain. And then after 25, it's much more difficult. Like the brain kind of like hardens in a way. And I think that's why the majority of like tight friendships happen before 25.
Right, right.
Because you kind of like, you mold around that person. And then like there's stuff that like those four people are probably, that are my best friends, are the most flawed people I know in the world. And
oh, yeah.
I accept all of their flaws. I make fun of them constantly for it.
Right.
But it's like, it's things that and also the thing is, I don't know if they're more flawed than other people. It's that I know every single fucking detail of their flawed person happens.
Right, right.
You know?
Well, my, you know, my oldest friend in the world is my friend Scott, and he, we used to talk about it all the time. He would say, we would confide in one another about depression.
Yeah.
That we would both have. And he would always say, you know, it's okay. We have this depression because he don't trust people that don't get depressed. Because in order to understand true joy, you have to understand true sadness. You can't understand one without the other. And we really bonded on that. Now, that's a thing that I've had people in my life tell me, that's a flaw of yours. It's a darkness. It shouldn't be there.
Depression?
Yeah. Yeah. No. Or it's too bleak of an outlook at times that you have, whatever. But he's a guy that shares that outlook with me at times, and we turned it into a positive.
Yeah.
It's accepting the flaw and saying, like, no, this is human, man. Yeah. This is okay. You know, and that's hard to find. But I will say this. Some of the friends I've made here in the last year and a half, I feel like will eventually become, like, lifelong friends.
So here's the deal. I feel like as an adult, you have a lot of opportunities for potential for friendship, but the work required for them is it's not a definite. Like, if you meet somebody who you really get along with well at 21,
yeah,
you're going to be probably very close with them for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
But now as an adult, like, it's easy. Like, I meet people where I'm just like, wow. I like this person a lot, and then I just never have time to see them, never have the ability to just be like, hey, man, hey.
That's tough.
Like let's hang out. And, like, there's a lot of I just don't know. Like, I honestly don't know if, like, all those things will become deep friendships, you know? It's like a lot of fucking work.
See, here's what I think. It's not a lot of work.
In what way?
I think the people that you're truly going to be long-term good friends with, it's not a lot of work.
It just comes easy.
It comes easy, you know?
But you still have to hang out with them.
Well, you have to hang out with them. But, I mean, I think all of us hang out. I think all of us, regardless of how busy we are. Now, you're a married man, so it's a little different for you than it is for me. I'm single, so my free time is my free time.
Right.
So I can understand that you might have weeks where you say, I can't hang out with friends at all this week because I have one free night and I'm going to do wife stuff,
yeah,
you know, which is great, you know. But, like, I would say this. The people that I'm thinking of right now that I'm like, I think I might be friends with that guy for a long time. It's very easy. We hang out when we can hang out. As a single guy, again, like, on the nights that I am free in a week, those are the people I call.
Mm-hmm.
And we pick up where we left off every time. There's never awkwardness. They're guys that I can make any joke to. You're one of the guys.
I mean, I like that.
I really mean it. Like, you're one of the guys. Like, you're a guy, even if I don't see you for a month, we hang out, we pick up right where we left off.
Yeah.
I can make any joke to you. It's fucking hilarious. Like, I don't mean the jokes.
I also appreciate it. Like, someone has a joke about this. It's Mark Normand. Mark Normand has a joke, and not to say that either of us are racist, because we don't talk about that and we're not racist, but he has a joke where it says, racism now becomes, not only is it surprising, but it's also like, oh, I didn't know we were that close. like, I'm butchering his joke, but that's the point of it, you know what I mean? And it's in the same way where it's like, when you and I are, like, truly offensive with each other, it's a form of vulnerability that I'm willing, like, that yes. I'm willing to say the awful things that I say to you.
Yeah, well, yeah. We say pretty awful stuff to each
really
other.
Really awful. I would say that I have the most male relationship with you than I do with anybody else in LA.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I would say that that you are definitely one of the guys that I have the... You might be the guy, because even some of the other guys I'm thinking of that I'm pretty close with, we don't antagonize as much.
Yeah.
I think you and I are sharing, even though it's a small history of being New York comics,
yeah,
and hanging out in New York together. A lot of the guys I know here and hang out with here, even though they were New York comics, they weren't guys I hung out with in New York a lot.
Yeah.
you were one of the only guys that I'm like, yep, back in New York, I used to hang out with Kurt once in a while.
Every once in a while.
And that was it. And Kamal's another one of those guys. Yeah. He, you know, he was like, and I'm not super tight with Kamal, but like, we're friends. And like, but like, he's a guy where we have a very antagonistic bond because I think it kind of goes back to like, we were New York guys.
And it's also respect. Like, to truly insult someone.
It means I think you can take it, and I'm comfortable with you.
I think you can take it, and right. I'm not going to pull any punches with you. I'm going to be incredibly rude.
Right.
I'm going to try to deeply hurt you.
What's the meanest thing you've ever said to a friend?
Oh, Jesus.
Like, to be funny, I mean.
Oh, to be funny?
Yeah. So it's like the
I say
meanest
all the
joke.
Time, all the time, I say it to, like, my... Like, two of my closest friends, we just insult each other constantly. So I can't think of one specific thing, because I'm actually not sure what he would consider to be the most insulting thing. Like, because usually, because we know each other's deepest fears, and we'll drill them. We'll all three of us to get together, we'll drill each other on our deepest fears.
Okay. I got a great one for you.
Yeah.
And I used to talk about this in my set, too. I would tell the story about it. I'd say, I think friends that are true friends, in private, when it's just the two of them hanging out, should be able to say anything to each other, and you have to give your friend the benefit of the doubt that he's just kidding.
Yeah.
And I said, for instance, my friend Scott, his dad, the guy that I was just talking about, his dad died when we were 12. Very sad, obviously. Now we're 37, and we'll play beer pong against each other, and you talk a lot of shit when you play beer pong. And he'll say things like, you suck, you're going down. And I'll say things like, after I beat you at this game, I'm going to dig up your father's corpse and fuck it in front of you. And I go, and then we laugh because he knows I'm joking, right? And then whatever, it goes from there. And he saw that joke. And it's true. I have said that to him during beer pong games. And he saw that joke, and he came up to me after the show, and he goes, hey, the joke about my dad. And I go, yeah. And he goes, can you do me a favor? And I go, yeah. And he goes, can you give me a better shit talk in the beer pong game than you're going down? That's the shit talk you give me? Seriously? And I was like,
that's true. That's a true
friendship.
That's a good note, though.
Yeah, it is. It's not as funny, though, if I give him a good one.
I know, because it makes you seem like less a monster if he has a good one.
Yeah, whereas I gotta sound like an insane animal, spiral eyes.
Yeah.
but I mean, I was like, that's real friendship.
Yeah,
like he wasn't trying to be funny. He literally was saying, "I'm offended that you're making me sound so milquetoast with the shit talk."
Yeah, did you change it or did you just cut the joke?
No, I go, "Fuck you, I'm not doing it." I'm it. And then he was like, "Thanks, man, great." And then he laughed, and that was it. But that's friendship. That's real friendship.
Yeah.
That's real friendship. Yeah, so, but.
No, I'm saying cheers.
Oh. Well, you have nothing in your glass, you queef.
No, I've got enough.
No, you don't. Kurt texted me today.
What?
Oh, I already talked about this.
Yeah, you already did.
Sorry, the whiskey's settling in.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap this shit up. We're done here. Cheers. To friendship. To emotional hangs. I feel like we've discussed emotional hangs a lot today.
All right. We're going to do another one of these.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. I mean, by the end of it, the end of each one is just us drunk.
I'm not drunk, but I feel nice.
Yeah, great.
As he burps to the side again, blows it out quietly. This was emotional hangs. I love doing this podcast, and there's going to be more. And I apologize to the guy that hates it so much.
Oh, I don't apologize to him. He can go fucking kill himself.
Jesus, Kurt.
Yep. Yeah.
Kurt.
I'm taking a hard line on people who criticize me online now.
Who's criticizing you online?
I'm sick and tired of it.
Nobody's criticizing you.
Sick and tired of bullshit.
Everybody loves you. They're all saying nice things.
Hey, listen, buddy.
Who's criticizing? Tell me a criticism that hurt you to your soul. And that's
I don't know. I don't get it online.
You never.
I get it in life.
Tell me a criticism that hurt you recently that really hurt you, and that's where we'll end. When that really, truly hurt you.
Oh, not a crit. I didn't have a criticism. I just got attacked.
No. You don't have to talk about that. That's for another episode, yeah. Everybody. Oh, wait.
No, but that's like put me off. Like I'm red. I'm just like fucking anything that comes at me. I now it's all nuclear
that's
missiles.
That's a great cliffhanger. Let's end there.
Okay.
Kurt got attacked.
Yeah.
Details to come. See everybody.
Feral Audio.